Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, Turnbuckle fans, welcome to the show here on another Sunday afternoon. Today is our Turnbuckle Turmoil salute to fishing. There has been a link between pro wrestling and fishing going back decades, I'm sure, where wrestlers would kill the downtime by going fishing, hitting the rivers and the lakes between towns. George the Animal Steel and Greg Valentine once did a fishing comedy show pilot. Pat Rose went from pro wrestling to professional fishing, so there's a definite connection. And we have some prominent fishing enthusiasts that also are professional wrestlers. So far with this, we have Gregor Petrov. We have the Libyan Nightmare, J.B. Payne. We have Dale Patrick's. And Lance Dean, are you with us?
Yes, I am.
All right. Well, guys, to start things off, I'm going to give you an opening question here. I'll go in order of years in the business, I think. But can you tell us what led you to wrestling and what led you to fishing and how did you end up combining the two loves? And I'm pretty positive J.B. Payne, you would have the most years in, so why don't you start us out?
Well, thanks for making me the dinosaur of the group, first of all. I truly appreciate that, and thank you for the respect for that accolade. I have been around and in the professional wrestling business since the wonderful, glorious year of 1984. I've always looked at fishing as a way to downtime, relax, unwind.
That's to catch five fish in the nation of the show and catch 18 total.
Professional wrestling.
How long is the show?
Meet that schedule. To travel and get to a lot of times I would find out what the greatest fishing spots were, just to, you know, give it a try and give it a chance and see what I possibly may be able to catch. But fishing for me has always been a very good stress reliever, somewhere you can get out and relax. If you've got an upcoming match against someone where you need to think about, the match, the psychology of the match, what you're going to do during the match, how you're going to work with that person, it's kind of giving you a, an avenue and an escape and a nice quiet place to put all those things together. So that's kind of how I look at it.
All right. Dale Patrick's, I believe you would be next.
Yeah, just exactly what he was saying. It's an avenue to relax and release some stress. It's also, anytime you can catch a fish, it's almost like a wrestling match. You have the adrenaline going, so that's even more prominent when you're fishing because you never know what's on the other end of your line, especially no matter where you are. And it's just a fun time to have with family and, your friends that you don't normally get to hang out with. So that's the reason why I fish. It's just fun.
All right. That brings us to Gregor Petrov. Same question.
Oh, man, I don't know, I've been wrestling about 8 years, but I originally got into fishing due to an injury. Wrestling in Oakland, California, I ended up hurting my shoulder. I was off work, out of wrestling, didn't have shit to do, kind of going crazy, didn't want to go outside, so I gave it a shot, and just been down doing it ever since.
All right, and Lance Dean, same question for you.
Well, one of the ways I decided to get into fishing, well, actually, I'll talk about my wrestling. I've been wrestling for 6 years. One of the things I like about fishing is you get to try different types of baits, different things. Just like in the wrestling ring, you're trying to find out what those fans are biting on, sort of like on the other end of the line. It's a good way to relax. It's a good way to get a tan. Because if I'm not catching a fish, at least I'm catching a tan while I'm out there. And also, like I say, trying to figure out your opponent, trying to figure out strategies, things like that are all things that are interchangeable with fishing.
All right, and then I believe we have Miles Morales with us.
Yes, sir.
All right, the question is, how did you get into pro wrestling and how did you get into fishing and kind of combine the two worlds?
I got into, like, professional wrestling at the age of, like, 20. Went to the school and I found my love for it. Went ahead and went to go train and got the training in, and then fishing also. I used to see like my parents and everybody fish, and I always wanted to go fishing and didn't know how to get into it. So I just went ahead and just tried it out. And same thing with wrestling happened, just to meet the two at the point. So
now, fishing is a hobby for a lot of people, but it's also a sport. A lot of people do competitive fishing where they're trying to catch the most fish. Of course, there's professional fishing where people go out and catch fish for people to eat as a profession. Wrestling has different levels as well, where we have the independents where guys go out and make it sort of a side job. And some people have full-time pro wrestling careers, and that's the only source of income. So there's a lot of similarities between the two worlds. J.B. Payne, what would you say would you consider is the biggest similarities between wrestling and fishing, and maybe the biggest difference between the two worlds?
I know you had said something about, guys being on the indie scene and guys that are professionally, you know, let's say in the E and on the big shows, as I call them, for them to have downtime to even fish would be few and far between. I think the best thing that, you know, I look back and I've often asked myself, what if I'd have made it to the big leagues? What if I'd made it somewhere? I wouldn't have the time that I have right now, the time to do things like this, the time to go fishing, the time to spend those special times with your family and your friends and all of that. But it's kind of a tough question because, like I said, if you're in that big league, you're not going to have the time for it. You're going to be on the road 320 plus days out of the year. And I think the last thing you want to do is when you have your time off is really to go fishing possibly. When you've got family, you know, unless you have no family and no immediate people, unless you have nothing else, absolutely nothing to do. But, you know, I go back to the first question that you posed, and, you know, being an indie guy, always being the indie guy, I've never done it professionally. My father fished professionally, where he fished in tournaments all over the Midwest. It was a hobby and a job for him. And I look at that the same way as I do indie wrestling. I looked at it as a hobby and a job for me. It's always been a passion of mine since I saw my first wrestling match when I was 4 years old in 1968. I knew then that that's what I wanted to do. But you go back and you talk about guys who fish for sport or fish for, or fish for a profession, I mean, and make a living. Yeah, there's people that are shrimpers, people that are lobster fishermen. There's people that are, game fishermen where that's their livelihood. If they don't fish, they don't support their families, they don't live. And that's their livelihood. But for guys, like all of us in the indies here, we're afforded that luxury. And I call it a luxury because, it's a choice for you to do it, but it's also a luxury to get out there. And like the gentleman said earlier, it's like a wrestling match. Especially if you're wrestling somebody that you've never wrestled before, you don't know exactly what to expect from them. So you can't expect what's on the other end of that line either. So, I mean, that's kind of my take. And hopefully it answered your question. I know I might have got off subject a little bit, but hopefully it answered your question. And to all the guys that are on this panel as well, a little bit off the script here for a second as well. I hope during this COVID-19 thing that you get out and do more fishing because you're afforded that luxury to relax, to think and spend time with your family and your friends that you normally wouldn't have the opportunity to because you're putting in that 9 to 5 or 8 to 4:30 or whatever you do every day. But, not only that, man, it gives you, you're out, you get the sun, and as the one gentleman said, you get a tan, but I don't need to work on that in my case. But, it's something that you get to do.
Bill, what about you? What do you see as sort of the similarities and the major differences between the two worlds, wrestling and fishing?
Definitely the similarities is the money-making and the having fun portion. I think that's what the big thing is, just having fun, getting out, doing something different. The differences between the two, I would say, would be, one, you're kind of being told what or who you're wrestling, and really on the other end of your line, you never know what you could have. You could have a catfish or whatever sort of species of fish that's out there. So that's a similarity or differences right there.
All right. Gregor Petrov, who is actively fishing as we speak, what would you say are the big similarities and the big differences?
The kayfabe, man. You ever ask a fisherman where his fucking good spot is? He ain't telling.
I didn't call out your spot.
No, I'm just saying. That's all I'm saying. It's the kayfabe. You can't ask another fisherman where a spot's at. He ain't gonna give it to you.
Okay.
And a similarity as to where it's in wrestling is different fish require different baits to intrigue them, as to where different territories require different types of work to pop those crowds. So you really have to be versatile and able to just think and work on the fucking fly, man. So there's a lot of similarities to wrestling.
Mm-hmm. All right. And Lance, what about you?
Well, like we say, fishing, it takes a lot of money to buy baits, gas to go where you're going. And like I say, the same thing with wrestling. It takes money to travel. It takes money to eat on the road. So you're giving a lot of what you have, and the same thing, you're giving what you have in the ring. And you never know sometimes what you're going to get from night to night. If you're wrestling a complete new person, wrestling the same person you've wrestled maybe 3 or 4 times is like catching the same fish. And to me, that's some of the connections in fishing with wrestling, if that kind of answers your question as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Miles, you're newer to both of the sports, I believe, but what would you say from your observations are the similarities and the differences?
My similarities and my differences, it's like what they said earlier, like what everybody said, I definitely agree. The similarities would be like from fishing, you don't know who you're going against till you get to like who you're going against, like a catfish or a trout or a bass or anything until you get to that lake or that pond. And then like also with like wrestling, the same thing as wrestling, like you don't know if you're dealing with fucking Big Show or Andre the Giant or Rey Mysterio. Like you never know until you get to the building. And then, and like also the differences as well. You don't also know when you're fishing, like how long you're gonna be there. And then with wrestling, it's like we get our shit in and then we fucking go home pretty much. But it's also taking the time that time out to make those connections as the similarities in those moments in fishing and wrestling to connect both of the two is a similarity also. But as everybody already said, those are also some of the same things as well.
One of the things that is common in wrestling and fishing is you, in a lot of ways, have an opponent. In wrestling, obviously, you're wrestling against either one other person or two other people in a tag match or what have you. In fishing, your opponent is that fish. You're trying to defeat that fish by taking him out of the water and capturing it. J.B. Payne, what would you say has been your biggest opponent as far as fishing goes?
Getting that fish in that's 20 pounds on 10-pound test line. Thank God he was only about 4.5 feet from the shore. But had it been any more, I probably would have been in trouble. But, yeah, I'd have to say that.
That's pretty good sized fish for that.
Yes, it is.
Gil, what would you say has been the biggest fishing opponent?
I would say this catfish that I caught with TJ, I think like a month or so ago. We're out on the Lake Geist here in Indianapolis. And funny thing is that I had one of my poles out in the water. And TJ will probably tell you the story whenever he gets on. Is that had a pole sitting down on the boat, had the eyelet right behind something so that, you know, if something took off, it wouldn't do it. It wouldn't go in the water. Well, wind up not being even a worry at all because this fish just immediately grabs this end line and yanks the pole in the water. And not even 1 or 2 seconds are gone before the fucking fishing pole and the fish are just gone out of my line of sight. I didn't have time to react or even go for it or anything. I would say that's my biggest fishing challenge.
All right, Petrov, I know you've had a few good fishing opponents there. What was the biggest opponent you had for fishing?
My damn self. Man, I tell you what, if it ain't me missing a bite or fucking getting the wrong idea, sometimes just not going when I should, man. I'll fuck myself up catching more fish than the fish will get me.
I know you had a bunch of opponents today, too. I understand.
But we need one more. We need one more to hit your 18 for your show, sign guy.
That's not bad. I was pretty quick.
Yeah, no, they were biting.
Lance, how about you? What's been your biggest opponent in the fishing world?
Well, I don't know. If I tell you my biggest opponent, I might incriminate myself. Hopefully nobody has a game warden gimmick or I'd be in trouble. But I was close to Scappoose Bay, and I caught a 36-inch sturgeon and didn't have the tag for it, let's just say that. And
decided I better get the heck out of there before too many people with binoculars were looking around. So, you know, my dog was running around the sturgeon and everything, and I had my cooler and I had my really sharp fillet knife. So I cut that 36-inch sturgeon in half, stuck in the cooler, grabbed all my poles, didn't care if they were tangled, drug all my gear back to the car, and I was out of there and hoping I didn't get a knock on the door or anything. And so far, I've been lucky. So don't tip anybody off, fine guy.
I gotcha. Miles, how about you? What's been your biggest opponent as far as fishing goes? Did we lose Miles? Right. Do we got TJ with us?
What was the question again? I'm sorry.
Oh, there you are, Miles. Question was, what's been the biggest opponent as far as fishing goes? What's been the biggest challenge?
Overcoming the big fish, like, not throw out that line. I just, I think I'm reeling in, like, Big Show or, like I said before, Andre the Giant or, like, Kane or somebody like that. And it's hard because, like, I'm so small and I don't know, like, what's the, like, mechanics of real fishing. And I'm just like, oh, I'm at the grave. Like, one time, like, me and Dale and TJ was on a fucking boat. And then I was about to be ready to, like, fall off the boat. And then they had to fucking come over and catch me. I was like, God damn it. I'm like, I got this. I'm Rey Mysterio. I got this. But, like, yeah, that's one of my big, like, big components of, like, trying to catch a big fish is bigger than me. Most of the fishes are bigger than me. So, yeah.
Got my ass. Holy shit.
Yeah, Dale. Remember that shit, bro? Like, that shit was crazy. I was like, that, like, when we caught that, what was it? That 25-inch or that 22-inch,
yeah.
Something like that.
That
shit, like, I never, like, saw a fish that fucking big, and I was like, well, goddamn, this motherfucker's bigger than me. Shit. It was literally, like, half of my fucking leg, and I was like, oh, my God, I'm fucking lame as hell on this fucking bitch.
It was half your size, dude.
I never saw a fish that fucking big, dude. Yeah,
wait till you do some sword fishing or a little bit of shark fishing.
Dude, boy, I'm waiting on it. I'm planning for it. I can't wait.
I'm good. I've seen 72 deadliest animals. I'm not doing that shit.
Well, we know in wrestling we got lots of different styles. You got the brawling, you got the high flying, you have the on the mat style, the lucha libre style. Same goes in fishing where you have fly fishing, you have the net fishing, spear fishing. There's all kinds of different ways to do both. JB Payne, what would you say is your favorite style of wrestling and your favorite style of fishing?
I think my favorite style of wrestling is catch can. But I'm also a person that likes to mix it up and brawl if the situation arises. As for fishing, I'm a bait casting guy. You know, put that twister or put that jig on, tip that twister or tip that jig with a minnow, and let's see what happens. And in correlation with wrestling, that's kind of like working on the fly. It's the same as working on the fly. Which I like that style as well, too.
Bill, what about you? What's your favorite styles of wrestling and fishing?
I'm definitely not even close to being smart to use a bait caster. Last time I used it, fucking pissed myself off real quick. I'm just a big, huge dumbass. I guess mine's the basic 1-7 because I fucking suck.
Fair enough. All about you? You got a favorite style of wrestling and a favorite style of fishing?
Oh, man, this is a fan of the old school American style pro wrestling, and if it's got a pull, I'm about it.
That's right.
So no net fishing for you?
I mean, I guess it's just not for me. It's just not what I do. I don't have anything against the people that like to do it. It ain't for me.
Completely understood. No problem.
Are you the
all right, and what
sometimes?
About Lance Dean?
Well, as far as fishing goes, I like to go take an ugly stick and put together a colada, you know, like a worm and a salmon egg or something together, kind of a tag team, and throw it
yummy.
Out as far, yeah, throw it out as far as I can throw it and see what bites on it. And then I take my other pole, because I usually fish with two, and I put a bobber on that one. That way I got that suspended from a different depth. I got two different poles out there, two different baits, trying to see what they're going to hit first. And as far as wrestling goes, the style I like to do is I like to combine brawling with, depending on who my opponent is, you know, if he's a high flyer, I want to ground him and slap a lot of holds on him that are going to wear him down, submissions, combinations, not necessarily lucha libre or anything like that. You know, I'm not a high flyer, but that fist drop, man, that's what I like to get him with, right between the eyes.
Miles, how about you? What's your favorite styles of each?
My favorite style is I don't have a style. I just do in fishing, I'm very calm, but it's like very opposite when I transition to the wrestling world, because the wrestling world is like different from fishing, but it's also fishing is more relaxed than fishing for me. And like wrestling is like my fucking playground. So like I just go ape shit when I get to the ring. But it's, I would say, not lucha, but high flying is my style that I'm very comfortable with, and somewhat of lucha. And I can do a little bit of, I can walk and talk. I can do something on the fly. Like, I'm very, like, I soak everything up pretty much in wrestling. I just go with it. And I've been talking, like, yeah, pretty much. What you laughing about, Dale?
No, I'm just laughing because I fuck shit up, too, so we're in the same boat.
Yeah, same. I can't even tell you fishing wise. I can't even tell you what kind of line to use, like what kind of bait or anything. Like I'm still green in fishing. I feel like I'm fucking 2 days into fishing. I got worms pooping on me and stuff when I put them on the hook. And
guys, co-host is also with us, and QT I think has questions. So QT, why don't you take things away?
Oh, hell yeah.
My first question is to Mr. Morales. Miles, are there any clues to the rumors from my wrestling sources in Shelton, Washington, that you yourself are planning a trip to Branson, Missouri, to visit the History of Fishing Museum? This museum antique fishing collection is valued at $5 million and has 40,000 pieces of memorabilia. Are you planning a trip to this fishing museum?
So where is the fishing museum at?
Branson, Missouri.
Branson, like Missouri?
Yes.
How far is that from Indy? Where is that at? I don't know what that's at. See, I'm still green. I don't even know the state.
Where do you live, bro? Well, it has like fishing boats in it and old fishing poles from the 19th century and wooden carved lures and stuff. Yes, I was wondering if you were going to visit there, take a road trip. Yes,
that'll be cool one day. Yeah, I didn't even know that was after you there. Yeah, I'll fucking visit that place one day.
Fuck yeah. Okay, now do we have TJ Kemp on the line?
Don't think TJ is joining. I don't think TJ is joining us yet.
Come on, TJ. Crazy.
Okay, Sunday, do we have TJ on the line?
Nope, TJ's not joined us just yet.
Damn.
Okay. How about, JB, this museum in Branson has hand-carved fishing lures from the early 1900s, wooden canoes and boats, and a lot of motors to power the boats. They have old motors. Boy, I forgot my question now. Oh, yeah. Of these four, let me see. I was going to ask a question about the museum. Let's say you have four boats are in the Branson Museum, and they have four names to choose by. Which would be your number one pick for a canoe choice if you placed it in the Branson Museum? Avid Angler, Bait Master, Catching Dinner, or Suicide Blonde? That's what I was going to ask.
Who's the question posed to?
Okay, yeah.
That would be for you, JB.
Yes, for me?
Yes.
Oh,
JB,
shit.
Yes.
Well, I know my black ass ain't getting in no wooden canoe, I'll tell you that right now. But I would pick that second to the last one, the one before the blonde. What was that one before the blonde?
That was Catching Dinner.
There you go. There you
so
go.
You would
I
not
think that's
choose,
one I'd go with.
So you would not choose Baitmaster, Avid Angler,
nope.
Or Suicide Blonde? Oh, okay.
Nope. Nope, nope, nope. I'm going with the Catching Dinner.
Okay. Well, Lance Dean, the term fishing may be applied to catching other aquatic animals, such as shellfish, cephalopods, and crustaceans. My question is, which do you prefer? Deep-fried oysters with tartar sauce, king crab legs with butter, or clams marinara?
Well, since I am getting married really soon, I would have to go with the oysters is what I'd have to do, because those oysters, I'm telling you, it'd probably be the same for a wrestling match. You know, you got the beginning of your match, and then you build up, and then, you know, you eat your oyster, and there's the finish. But I would have to say the oysters and the butter sauce or tartar sauce. I'd even put cocktail sauce on it.
Oh, okay. Have you ever been in a fishing bar by a fishing outlet, and you slipped a roofie to an attractive female fisherman? That's what I'm asking.
Oh, like a colada? Kind of like a colada, huh? Well,
yes.
I'm not over here in Scappoose cosbying anybody. But no, I've never done that. I mean, maybe you can put in somebody's beer while they're out there. But no, that ain't me. That ain't me.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, fuck my fat ass. Oh.
Mr. Morales, have you ever been to Alaska to fish for Copper River salmon, only to have a brown bear or a grizzly bear sneak up from behind and take your fish?
No. Why would I go to Atlanta? Wait, what? Alaska? What? I'm confused. What? I've never been.
Oh, okay. You've never had a bear take your
fish? I never had a bear take my what?
Yeah. Your bearded clam, I mean. Yeah.
All right, well, guys, we got one more guy on the panel today, Sonny O'Mara. And because of Sonny's physical state, I will answer the question for him. And we asked him about his favorite style of fishing, and he said he's sort of an old school guy, and he likes to go out there, kind of tell the story with the fishing, not a ton of high spots. He's just like a rod and reel type of guy, just kind of basic. So there is Sonny's answer to that. All right, QT, go right back.
Okay. This is a fishing joke for Lance Dean. Lance, one day, Frank and Bob were out fishing. A funeral service passes over the bridge they're fishing by. Bob took his hat off and put it over his heart. He does this until the funeral passes by. Frank says, "Gee, Bob, I didn't know you had it in you." Bob replied, "It's the least I could do. I was married to her for 25 years.
Oh, my gosh. You know what, though? When he puts his hand over his heart, and he puts that hat over his heart, he might miss a bite. Why would
you
do that? That's like turning around the ring and pandering to the audience after I did a snap mirror to somebody, you know? You're going to get hit from behind.
All right. Can I ask something?
Yes, please.
If I do a snap mirror and I pan to the audience and I kick him right in the head, does that make me a bad guy?
That I'm not sure. Yes.
And I pan to the crowd. Does that make me a bad guy?
I'm not sure. We really need a rim shot here. That's what I'm looking for. Rim shot.
Hey, rim shot.
Also, if I can ask one more question, I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead.
So was it bait caster, right? For the last question before this one?
Yeah.
Bait caster,
yeah.
Or something like that?
Yeah.
What's the difference between baitcaster and like the catching lunch dinner or whatever that was supposed to be talking about? What's the difference between those two rods?
What's the difference between what?
The baitcaster and the lunch dinner catch thingy you talking about? This is like legit a shoot question. I'm just curious.
Oh, it's two different boats. I think was the.
You want to know what bait casting fishing is? Is that what you want to know?
Yeah.
When you have a lure on the end of your line, and you can either put bait as well, a worm or minnow or chub or shad or whatever you'd like for bait, and you throw the line out there as far as you can get it, and you reel it in. That's bait casting.
Oh, okay.
I think it's also an upside down reel is what it is. The reel is upside down, you kind of have to sidearm it and not really pitch it over your head. It's like a sidearm.
Yep.
And you're better using it in a boat or off of a bridge.
And I do it off the shore. It's primarily rivers that have kind of swift moving water with some dead zones or dry zones or whatever you want to call them of water. And you're basically casting out into the current and then dragging the bait through the slow water. And but you can also do it in lakes, that kind of stuff as well.
Yes,
but I mean, it's always, I'm used to that type of fishing. I am lake fishing. I'm used to, I'm just more used to that kind of deal than sitting with bait on a hook and waiting for the fish to come. I mean, it's more of an active thing, and because let's face it, I mean, fishing can be boring if you're sitting around and waiting for the fish to bite the line. Well, you know, you cast so many times with this bait, with this lure, 10, 15, 20 times, you don't get anything, and you twitch the lure up, try something else in your tackle box.
You know what I mean? That's kind of how it. That's kind of how I'd explain
yeah.
bait cat. So, but give it a try. Give it a try.
Oh, yeah, I will. I most definitely will. I just didn't know if the ones without like the reeling part. I didn't know what those were called, like the ones like the bondage, like
They're called open face bait casting reel.
The ones without the casting reel, though, they just like throw them out there. They don't have to like reel them back in, right?
Yep, and then you reel them back in.
Okay, just asking. Just
yeah. I mean, you know, it's different. A lot of people don't know about that. You know what I mean? A lot of people that have no idea that you know, that's basically what those type of fishing poles are for, with the upside down reel. That's what they're basically for. They're not really made for where you just cast it out there and let it sit till the fish bites.
Right. Oh, they're going to backlash like crazy.
Those reels are specifically made for bait casting. But, you know, a lot of people don't know that. But, you know.
All right, well. We had another answer from Sonny O'Mara, and on the question of biggest opponent in fishing, he said most likely his biggest opponent so far has been a tuna. So Sonny O'Mara, out here in the Northwest, a tuna fisherman, so pretty good haul for him for sure. And guys, we got a little while here, but I want to make sure everyone has a chance to say anything and plug anything they want to say or plug. So let's go down the line for that. JB Payne, Libyan Nightmare, if there's anything you want to put out there, plug and promote anything, absolutely go for it.
Okay. Thank you for the opportunity. First of all, thanks for letting me be on the panel with guys today. Some of you guys I've worked with, and know, and some of you other guys I really don't know, but feel free to engage with me on Facebook if you'd like. It's under my real name, which is Jeff Burton, and but I would like to take this opportunity to say to all the guys that are here on the panel today, take this special opportunity in this time that we have right now during this pandemic situation, whether you think it's pandemic, scandemic, whatever you want to think it is, to, you know, get close to your family and friends. Spend time with family and friends. Make new friends with people. Look at somebody that's different than you are. Reach out to them. Maybe take them fishing. Someone that's never gone fishing before. Say, hey, you know, let's go do this. Great way to kill time. Great place to have conversations. You know, great place to let your mind go free. And, you know, take advantage of this opportunity this time to do it, you know. And, you know, I've any of you guys that want to come out here, I'm in Des Moines, Iowa, heartland of America. And, you know, I don't have any oceans close by to me, but I've got 10,000 lakes in Minnesota, and I've got quite a few lakes in Iowa, quite a few rivers. But any of you guys that want to come out, learn about that bait casting thing, or come out here and fish, you know, private message me, and we can maybe make that happen. So, again, thanks. Thanks for the time.
Thank you very much for being on with us. Dale Patricks, what about you? Anything you want to say or plug before we wrap things?
No, I just want to say thank you for even inviting me on the show. I know I'm a big, huge dumbass. You know where to follow me on social media. If you guys want to come out to a show to hang out, let's do it. If you guys want to go fishing, let's do it. Besides all that, I'm good. Thank you.
I love you, Derek.
Thank you.
Love you too, Dale.
All right, Lance Steen, anything you want to plug or promote? Any merchandise, upcoming weddings or anything?
Well, I am getting married. for the third time, which is the charm. I've finally met who I want to be with for the rest of my life. And we're getting married September 12th in Scottsdale, Oregon. As far as wrestling goes, I've been trying to keep a lot of my matches up on my Facebook. I just started sharing them this week since we got the whole COVID going on. So the Northwest is pretty silent with wrestling right now because it's, you know, the whole sanctions haven't been lifted or anything like that. But I'm trying to stay in shape. Come back from the wedding, I want to start training with Portland Lucha. So I got a lot of things in mind, and I still got wrestling and fishing in my heart, and can't wait to get back to doing wrestling.
All right, Miles, what about you?
Yes, you can follow me on all platforms. Don't Die Miles is on all platforms, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, whatever. You can pretty much find anything. Everything else is I got a lot of stuff coming up on IWTV. Also, most of my matches will be on IWTV from here on out, or most of the time. You can go to YouTube and search me. But, yeah, peace and love and all hair grease. Thank you for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you, Miles. We appreciate it. And Petrov has dropped the call, but I know you can follow him on Twitter at Petrov Bites. You can also look him up on the Book of Faces. If you type in Gregor Petrov, you should find him. He's on YouTube all over the place. Definitely keep tabs. And as we're getting ready to go, I believe JB Payne QT has a fishing riddle for you.
Yes, JB, where do football players go shopping in the off season?
Enlighten me.
At the tackle shop.
I see what he did there. All right. Well, guys, I want to thank all of you for being on the show today. We appreciate it greatly. You guys taking out your time to be with us. Hopefully you guys will continue to catch some fish here in the last few weeks of summer. And hopefully all of you will stay safe as you get back in the ring and shows continue to open up. Fans, we will be back with you next week. 1 week from today, it is our sports entertainment salute to basketball. We'll have some wrestlers on that have various degrees of basketball experience under their belts as well. Should be a fascinating show then. So everyone stay safe out there. Maybe go cast a line, look up some wrestling, and we'll talk to you next week.
Thanks, Sign Guy. I love you, man.
Thank you. Love you too, brother.
I could be the way you wanted me to be. Talking in your sleep when you're all alone. Talking in your sleep.